Today on The Balanced Word, a vivid picture of what God can do with us.
God is the potter. And so God looks at me and he looks at you, and with this incredible divine imagination that he is able to look into you and see an image of what he wants to do in your life. And it's amazing because, like an artist, he can look at raw materials and see end results. He can look at a lump of clay and say, wow, I have an idea. I have a picture in my mind. I have something that I can do that will make this lump of clay into something amazing.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word. We'll turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Dave Rolfe, in just a moment, who today continues through the Bible, highlighting various Bible stories along the way. We take you to Jeremiah 18 today, which speaks of God as the potter and all of us as the clay. Why did he choose this imagery to talk about how God works in our lives? That's one of the many questions we'll pursue the answer to in the minutes ahead.
Well, let's turn in our Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 18. As we continue our journey through the Bible, going through this year through the Old Testament, and just picking out some key Bible stories along the way. Jeremiah 18 is this picture that God gave Jeremiah when he took him down to a pottery shop and showed him a potter making pottery out of clay. And it said, I have a message for the people based on this imagery, based on how this was happening. And let's begin reading with verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. So God brings Jeremiah to a pottery shop, and he says, have you noticed that when a potter takes a lump of clay and begins to spin it on a wheel, that sometimes there's a flaw in the clay, and the vessel gets marred, and so he smashes it into a ball of clay and starts all over again? So he said, you are like clay in my hands. I, like a potter, can make anything I want out of you. And that's what I want to do. But if you decide that you don't want me working in your life, even if I've told you I have a great plan for you, if you decide to disobey me and to walk away from me, then I'll change my plan for you. And you can just become a lump of clay sitting on the sidelines. At the same time, if there are people who I predict they are going to amount to nothing, they are going to be failures, And if they change their hearts toward me and they want me to work in their life, then I'll change my mind and I'll actually make something beautiful out of them. So, and theologically, that becomes problematic because we often go, well, wait, you know, can God make a promise and then change his mind? And I could go through theological gyrations to try to act like that's not the case, but there's too many places in the Bible where God says it. This is one of the places where God goes, look, if you decide that you don't want me, then I will change my mind about you. If you decide you do want me, then I will change my mind about you. And it's all in the picture of the potter and the clay. Now, for those of you who are hanging on to the notion of eternal security, that once you're saved, you're always saved, you can look at this. And I don't, you know, I don't have a real strong thing of, you know, yep, you know, eternal security necessarily. The way I look at it is, if you are a Christian and then you later become not a Christian, were you ever really a Christian? If being a Christian is having eternal life, the one way you can know you didn't ever have eternal life was if it ends, because then it's not. So if you don't want him, don't worry. He's not going to force himself on you. If you want him, you're fine. But from the perspective that he presents here, and he does this over and over throughout Scripture, better be careful, because your future with me is somehow hinged on how you decide to relate to me. Now, if you want to explain all that away, you're welcome to. It's not really what this message is about. What I want to look at this morning is why he chose the image of the potter and the clay to talk about how he works in our lives. Watching a really good potter making pottery is a fascinating thing. It really is, because a potter takes a lump of what's essentially dirt, minerals from the dirt, mixes it with water, and has a vision for a lump of messy mud that says, I have an idea, and I'm going to take this lump, and I'm going to make it into something useful, something beautiful, all sorts of choices before me. I can make it into a vase, I can make it into a mug, I can make it into a bowl, but I can make it into something that's way more valuable than a lump of mud. And that's what a potter gets to do. It takes an amount of creativity and imagination because, you know, a lot of times you start certain works of art and you just start slopping things together and think, okay, what does this look like? But to be able to take a lump and turn it into something, you've got to be able to see that in your mind before you ever get to the point where it's actually reality and somebody could recognize it. And so a potter does that. They take dirt and water and make them into something beautiful and useful. And the potter has a lot of choices as to what they're going to make into, you know, what they're going to make this mud, this clay into. And so this imagination and these choices, and you can see why God uses this as a description of what he can do with us. It's a really good illustration in that way. But there are some other things about pottery, that when you're making pottery, for one thing, pottery is really messy. If you've ever tried to do it, chunks of clay are flying all over the place. I mean, you should have learned that from Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. But if you didn't, it's a messy art. It really is. You do not do it and stay clean. Kind of like life, kind of like God working in us. So this is an interesting facet of it. Also, it's not easy at all. It's really hard to do. It might look easy, but you take a lump of clay, and I don't know if you've ever tried with a potter's wheel, just truing it up and making something round. I'm amazed how difficult it is. I tried it back years ago at Calvary. We had an art teacher who was really good with a potter's wheel. And so I thought, that looks easy. I could do that. And I had operated lathes. And so I thought, I can handle this easily. So she had me in front of her class. We're going to have Pastor Dave come and show you how this is done. And I go, okay, I got this. I've watched it before. I've seen Ghost. And so I go up there and I just start smashing the clay, and it just splattered all over everywhere. And I kept trying and getting frustrated. And I mean, I couldn't do it. It's hard. One of the, this morning in the junior high and high school group, second and third service both, we have a woman who's an expert ceramicist who's demonstrating for the kids, and hopefully she'll give the kids a chance to try it, at least some of them. So if you have a junior high or high school kid, trust me, they may come home really dirty. And they may come home going, I couldn't do it at all. In fact, the woman who's doing the demonstration, I was talking to her daughter-in-law, who took her as a ceramics teacher in high school. And I said, you know, how was she as a teacher? She goes, well, I don't know. I got a B minus. For one thing, if anybody gets a B minus from their mother-in-law, that's like an A plus from anybody else. But this girl's really creative and she's smart. But she realized after a semester, wow, this is harder than I thought. But if you think it's hard to do the work of the potter, imagine what it's like for the lump of clay. Because it's getting, it's frustrating too, because you just start thinking you're getting somewhere, and boom, they just decide, nope, that's not right. And they smash you and you start all over again. Imagine spending your life spinning around. There are times when I've had vertigo, and it's just so crazy that you get up and it's like, whoa. I remember it was a couple years ago at the men's retreat, I had this attack of vertigo, and I'm in our cabin up there at Forest Home, and I'm just like, whoa, I'm hanging on and it's spinning. Well, that's what a lump of clay probably feels like if it was, you know, if you were going to turn it into a human. And chunks of it are missing and things are happening. It's just, pottery is rough for the clay. It's hard on it. And a lot of them never end up becoming anything at all. Just the way it is. But also, pottery, when it's just about finished, when it's finally looking like what it's supposed to look like, when you paint it, then you put it in a kiln and fire it. You pass it through the fire, and that's what hardens it and makes it more permanent. And I think, again, that's a fascinating aspect of it that certainly God had in mind as he was making this analogy between God and people, and between a potter and clay, ultimately pottery. And so when we think about it this way, now let's personalize it. Let's think about what this says to me and to you. For one thing, he's the potter, we're the clay. We don't make ourselves. If you ask a lump of clay, what do you want to be? It would just say, I want to be a lump. Or a dog or a star or whatever. You know, clay doesn't form itself. You can let it sit there for billions of years and it just becomes harder and more staid in what it is. And it's absolutely useless for anything except a, you know, paperweight. That's our lives. We can try to make ourselves into something. They talk about people being a self-made man. But we really aren't capable of making ourselves into much of anything useful. But God is the potter. And so God looks at me and he looks at you, and with this incredible divine imagination that he is able to look into you and see an image of what he wants to do in your life. And it's amazing because, like an artist, he can look at raw materials and see end results. He can look at a lump of clay and say, wow, I have an idea. I have a picture in my mind. I have something that I can do that will make this lump of clay into something amazing. And God looks at you and he looks at me. And when he finds us, he doesn't say, wow, what a great lump of clay. All lumps of clays are pretty much the same. But it's his image. It's his idea. It's his thought processes that say, I can take you with your idiosyncrasies and I can actually mold and shape you into something that is more amazing, that causes people not to say, look at the clay, it causes people to look at you and say, look at the potter who did this. This is awesome. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He has a plan for us. But unlike clay, who has no choice, we have a choice. He makes it clear there that, you know, we can decide. If we decide we don't want him working in our life, then he'll just go, okay, and he'll set us aside. But that choice is never permanent until you die, because no matter how much you've squandered your life, you can still decide, okay, I want him to work. But realize this, when God is working in your life, it's going to be messy. Chunks are going to be flying, because what turns dirt into clay is water. And it has to be soggy in order for it to actually be malleable and shapeable, functional. And it's the same way in our lives. You know, we're made of dirt and water, mostly water. And we are malleable. It's one of the things that makes it possible for us to be hurt. But God sees us and he goes, I have a plan for your life, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be really messy. Some of the things that you're going to experience, and when you get out of all this, you're going to be something beautiful, but you're going to leave a huge mess behind. And I think how true that is of our lives, that as he works in us, oh man, pieces are flying everywhere. And not only that, it's kind of difficult for us. It's easier to be a lump of clay than it is to become a beautiful bowl or a vase or a urn or whatever that you're going to be. It's hard because you're like going, and I know we come to God and we go, okay, God, here am I. And he goes, okay, let's go. And you start spinning around and then chunks are flying off of you and you're losing stuff. And every once in a while, it seems like God just goes, nah, there's something here that's not right. Boom, boom, boom. And he pounds us down. And we're like, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been in the hands of the potter. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm starting all over again. I'm just becoming another lump of clay. That's what pottery does. That's what a good potter does. They don't say, okay, we'll just not deal with that flaw, and I'll just make you into something decent. I was going to make you into a great vase, but now, let's just lop it off right here, and you can be an ashtray. No, he's like, no, I would rather make you a lump again so we can start over, because I have a great idea for what I want to do in your life. But that's hard, because I like to believe that my life is on this progression up. I like to calculate that the trajectory of my life is I go here and then here and then here. Wow, look at that. But here's... in reality, here's the trajectory of my life. Showing some potential, kind of going up a little, boom. Oh, I'm a lump again. Okay, I'll rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm going to start going up again. It's like boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh, what happened? Well, there was something in the clay that needed to be reworked, that needed to be massaged, that needed some more water or whatever it was. And so it's tough being a piece of clay. It is difficult because you know what's happening and you see it and you feel it and you're living it every day of your life. And in the same way that clay has to be subject to, sometimes there are pieces that just need to be taken out. Sometimes there are things in our lives that need to be set aside. Sometimes we lose something that we think is essential. But he goes, no, I have the image of what you're going to be. And you really need to do it without that relationship or without that job or without that car, without that house or whatever. No, I need to fine-tune you into what I want to do in your life. And he's the potter. And so we either decide to say, okay, go ahead. And when it hurts and when I'm spinning and when I'm feeling like I just started all over, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to decide, you're the potter, I'm just clay, I'm just sitting here and putting myself in your hands and desiring for you to work. Now, sometimes you get to the point in your life where you feel like, I'm finally getting somewhere. I know I'm not totally done. I've learned some lessons. I've pretty much most of the mistakes, I've already made them. And I figured out they're stupid. So now my life is actually starting to gel and come together. And I have some solid friends. And I've learned to get along with others. And I realize I don't need a bunch of stuff. And I'm in his hands, letting him do whatever he wants. And you know what you do with a piece of pottery before it's done? Even when it's really developed, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, we'll start decorating you. And you're like, awesome. And you're going, wait, what's that gas flame I hear in the back? Oh, that's a kiln. Even when you're just about done, sometimes you'll endure this experience of passing through fire. But it's going through that fire that makes the colors on pottery just pop and glaze over and shine. It's going through that finally finalizes what the potter wants to do in your life. But that's the way it happens. That's the way it's done. That's life. And so in so many ways, we see, wow, this image of the potter and the clay, it's radical. But I think in the point of the passage, too, is that, you know, as he talks to nations and he says, you know, you people in Judah, you've done well. I've done a lot for you. You have had some incredible godly kings. You have had some great revivals. But listen to me, he says, the potter can decide. I don't care what plan I have for you. If you start acting like people that I've destroyed before, you don't think I'm going to take you out? You don't think I'm going to destroy you? You go, but God, you've made promises to me. And he said, and I can take my promises back because I'm God. Don't you ever think that you have arrived so much that now it's just like, okay, I'm done. Your job, my job, is not to just be better than most people. Our job is to be everything that he imagines for us, to become those finalized products that, you know, John talks about it in 1 John when he says, beloved, now we are the children of God. And it hasn't yet appeared what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, that we'll be like him and we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. See, we don't look like what we're supposed to look like. We're just in the process of that. We are on the way. And yet every day we decide, am I going to put myself on the potter's wheel and allow him to shape and mold me, to pull pieces away, to, if he needs to, just start everything over? Am I going to do that? I know what his plan is, what I'm ultimately going to look like. And I'm going to look like a version of Jesus himself.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With one final thought, here again is Pastor Dave.
As soon as you give yourself into the potter's hand, there can be times when, man, God was really doing something in your life, and then it was like a reset time, and you're like, I quit. I don't want to start over. And so then you just sit there for a while. And then you go, God, is it too late? He goes, it's never too late. Come on. And he takes the water of his word and the Holy Spirit and begins to work in your life. And now all of a sudden, you're like a fresh lump of clay and he begins to shape you again. And you remember some of the lessons that you've learned in the past. And this time you go, I'm not going to freak out this time when it gets messy, when it's hard, when it's difficult, when I don't approve of what he's making of me, when I think it's all over, I'm going to hang in there.
More about the potter and the clay coming up next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. A daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, made possible through the support of our listeners.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.